The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio today by Ali Moreno, Gab Marcotti, Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. All that will be here to discuss so much that went on over the weekend. We'll start in the Premier League at the Etihad. Manchester City 1, Liverpool 1. It'll be Liverpool who would open the scoring thanks to a Salah penalty after Mane was brought down in the box. City getting back into it. Gabriel Jesus with a nice equaliser. And then a penalty awarded to City just before the break. However, Kevin De Bruyne dragging it wide. Second half, not that good at all. Looked like both teams were settling for a draw. Gabriel Jesus with the best chance heading wide. Let's welcome in, shall we, to the show, Stevie Nicol and Craig Burley. Craig, what happened in the second half? Did they make a deal at halftime? They would just take a point each?
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing, bearing in mind the quality on show. I suppose you just saw the Jesus header, which was probably the best chance. But, you know, the first half, particularly the first 50... I mean, Stevie and I, during the week, we discussed the Firmino Jota situation. You know, Stevie thought Firmino would start. I thought Jota would start. In the end, we were both right, but not in the way that we thought, because Liverpool really come out with the most amazing front line. I mean, it was 4-4-2 or 4-2-4, whatever way you wanted to shape it up. But in the first 15 minutes, literally Liverpool had four players in the forward position. They just absolutely swamped City early on. And I actually thought City in the first 15 looked really shell-shocked. I really did.
Yeah, they did, Stevie. Liverpool, of course, taking the lead. City getting themselves back into it. But you imagine, from both sides, I would imagine that Liverpool, they're happier with this result.
Well, I think so, considering that going into this game, all the talk was about how are they going to cope in the centre-back position. Well, the truth is, they coped pretty well. They limited the chances that City had. They'll be disappointed that... Listen, I thought for 30 minutes they were by far the better side in the first half, and they'll be disappointed they never took advantage of a lot of little breaks and a lot of little good pieces of play. They got them up in the final third, but they couldn't really finish it. But second half, nobody can complain. Both sides looked really tired at the end. And if you're Liverpool, you can't complain at getting a point at City.
OK, I understand no one can complain, Craig. Well, as a viewer, I can complain because it was boring. What happened? Why did it kind of play out that way?
Well, do you just want a 4-4, 5-4 every time two teams turn up? You know, sometimes teams cancel themselves, cancel each other out. They're very evenly matched, these sides, you know. So, you know, sometimes these things happen. I mean, we have seen some bad Clásicos. You have talked about that over the years. So it can happen. And you're not always going to get a 7 or 8 goal thriller when these two teams meet. That's just the way it is. It's very edgy. Probably these two are going to be the top two in no particular order come the end of the season. And they know that. They know it's a long old season. They know they haven't got off to the greatest starts, the two of them. And so it was almost like a chess match in the second half. Yeah, slightly disappointing, but it happens.
I'm not an idiot, Stevie. I do understand, obviously.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That occasionally you can have two big teams and they cancel each other out. But the juxtaposition between the opening, say, 30 minutes and then the rest of the game was so different.
Well, if you listen to both coaches after the game, they're both talking about the sides being tired and complaining about, you know, not having five subs. At some point, we have to start thinking that this is not an excuse. You know, generally we go, well, hold on a minute. You're playing every 3 days. You've got plenty of rest time. But if the more that people like Klopp and Guardiola talk about it, then you have to start taking notice of it. And I think considering the two halves that we saw, other than fatigue, what else do you put it down to? You know, because these are two sides that absolutely want to go and win the game. Liverpool came out of the blocks because they wanted to win the game. The way they set the team up, the fact that they had Jota and Firmino, they wanted to win the game. And Pep doesn't go about it any other way. And so you have to start thinking about the fatigue factor. And also Pep made a good point. You know, with 10 minutes to go in a big game like this, you really don't want to take too many chances. You don't want to throw points away that you can get, that you've worked really hard to get, and just throw it away by gambling in the later stages of the game. So I think you throw all these things in a melting pot. But the biggest one I think came out of it is definitely the fatigue factor, which I'm not a huge fan of generally, and the fact that they all want five subs back for certainly while this pandemic's on.
Was it just more about not losing in the end, Craig, as the game went on?
Yeah, I think so. And I think they gave each other at times in the first half a bloody nose that they were a little bit more cautious. I mean, Liverpool just walks through that. I mean, the Man City midfield in the first 20 minutes was non-existent. I mean, every time Liverpool picked it up, the four players in the front were running at the back four, almost, you know, four against four. And whilst they didn't take full advantage of that, I think it made City just a little bit or a lot more cautious towards the end of the game, because Guardiola, he'll take a point. You know, it's not ideal for him being in the position he is, but it's better than getting a bit of a drubbing. And that's what Liverpool could do if you continue to leave yourself open. And I think, you know, with Liverpool having Van Dijk out and with Matip having played so little football, and then the injury to Alexander Arnold, I think Liverpool as well thought, you know what, let's just not do anything stupid here. Take a point. We've got the international break coming up. Hopefully the guys will go away, won't play too much football. They'll get a bit of a rest, and then we kick on from there. And I think that's how it looked, certainly in the last sort of 20, 25 minutes of this game.
Quite a few people crying about the penalty, Stevie, the handball. Was it a pen?
Absolutely, it's a penalty kick. Listen, he's 10 yards away from De Bruyne when the ball's hit. No, it's away. It's your ability. I've always said it. I don't care for anybody else. It's your responsibility to get your arm out the way. And if you're 10 yards away, that should be enough time. So I had absolutely no problem with the penalty whatsoever.
I was listening to during the commentary in this game, Dan, the commentators were piping on about how harsh this was. And, I had to keep looking back and thinking, well, am I seeing something different here? Because his left arm is out, and first and foremost, he shouldn't be turning away from the ball in that direction. You shouldn't be trying to turn your back. And then his arm is kind of, his left arm is out. He tries to tuck it away, I'll give you that, but he doesn't get the job done. And I really don't get where this was such a big mistake, because clearly the VAR referee in Stockley Park thought there was something to look at, correctly sent the referee over. When he saw the definitive angle from behind Joe Gomez, he didn't even need another replay. And so I don't really know why people are making such a big deal of this. It was a penalty kick, and as Stevie mentioned, the ball travelled a fair amount of distance as well.
So it finishes 1-1 in that game. In the late game, Arsenal beaten 3-0 by Aston Villa. Aston Villa with that victory moving up to sixth in the table. They have a game in hand, by the way. They win that, they would go top alongside Leicester. Craig, 3-0 flatters Arsenal, doesn't it, today?
Well, it's not just the 3-0, it's, as you can see there in the graphics, it's the amount of efforts and chances that Aston Villa created. Look, they started the season like a house on fire, hit a bit of a lull Villa. I think, you know, lost against Leeds and Southampton, were battered by Leeds, I think. And then they've came back here. I mean, Arsenal might be having their own title race with Man United this year for the most inconsistent of the big teams. But listen, young Ollie Watkins, I say young, I think he's 23, bringing him in from Brentford has been a great move. He'll run the line, he's powerful, and he goes in the channels, he's keen, he's come up through the lower divisions, and he can't believe where he's playing at the moment. So, yeah, this was a shambles from an Arsenal perspective. There's no other way to describe it.
Why was it so shambolic, Stevie?
Well, because Dean Smith got a psychic in and hypnotised them and told them they were playing against Liverpool. I mean, I thought I was watching a rerun of Aston Villa-Liverpool. Yeah. Every time they went forward, they looked as though they were going to cut Arsenal open. You know, Arsenal really, I think we're really seeing what Arsenal actually is. You know, before Arteta, it was about they're so unorganised, you know, they're dishevelled, they don't have any heart. Well, he's kind of brought some organisation back, but that's about it. And it just disappeared today. And without any organisation, then they're pretty much nothing. And that's what they were today. They got cut apart by a side that were good going forward. And really, up the other end, Arsenal going forward were pretty toothless as well. So, all in all, horrible day for Arsenal, but another fantastic one for Aston Villa.
If people get carried away with one victory last week, Dan, you should remember it was against a hapless Manchester United side. So, you know, if Arsenal fans were thinking, oh, we're onto a winner here, going to Old Trafford and winning, many other teams have actually done that. So I think it's back to the drawing board for Mr. Arteta, I believe.
You say back to the drawing board. Some would say, Craig, well, if this was Solskjaer, you'd be calling for his head. Why not Arteta?
Well, Arsenal's expectations are different. Arsenal's spending power are different. Arsenal's squad is different. And he's not been in the job anywhere near as long as Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And he did win an FA Cup final recently as well. So, you know, he needs a little bit more time. I believe Solskjaer been in the job 18 months? I don't know off the top of my head. He's been in the job 6 months or whatever it is. So there's clearly a difference there. And, you know, maybe in a year down the line, if this is still happening, then yeah, we will be calling for or putting pressure on Arteta. But the expectations, Daniel, of Arsenal and where they were when Wenger left and when Emery left, and the expectations of Man United with their spending power, and the fact that Mourinho got them to second place in the league, which Arsenal, I believe, have not really been close to. Somebody might correct me in the last couple of years, is the reason. Theirs is a much bigger rebuild from where they are.
Meanwhile, Spurs, for a moment, were top of the table after a 1-0 victory over West Brom. Not the best performance at all from Jose Mourinho's side, but in the end, it's their talisman, Harry Kane, who proves to be the difference between the two sides. His head of the winner, Craig.
Well, they're not going to win the league, so please don't go down that road with me. But
why not? You know, why not when you've got Harry Kane doing this?
Because don't even go there. You're going to make yourself look even more stupid. They created lots of chances. They bossed the game. It wasn't as dominant as it should have been. But from Spurs' perspective, the fans can be happy because of the position that they're in. But listen, if he can keep them hovering around the top four, that will be an excellent season for them, trust me. But they're not going to be in the shake-up when we get into the crux of the season come sort of March, April and May.
Stevie, you've seen everyone drop points. Why shouldn't they be in the mix-up?
Well, because I think more often than not, they're relying on individuals coming up with something. You know, today Harry Kane did it. Well, it's usually Harry Kane, but Song can do it. You know, they've got individuals with Bale now as well, where they can play as poorly or as average as they were today against West Brom and still get 3 points. What they're well away from is the sort of, you know, the sort of Manchester City, Liverpool dominance from start to finish, from building through and playing nice passes and the killer instinct and you know, all of those things that both City and Liverpool recently have brought and won in the Premier League. They're miles off of that. So, yeah, 100% they're fighting and spitting and punching for a top four spot. I don't think they're challenging for the Premier League title.
What do you think, Ali?
Spurs, champions? It's not happening. But if you're Spurs, I mean, you're Jose Mourinho, what you want to do is hang around and see what happens with Manchester City and see what happens with Liverpool without Virgil van Dijk. And the longer this goes on that you are at the top or near the top, that's when you say, hey, well, maybe we can back ourselves into this. And if we defend well and maybe a goal by Harry Kane here or a goal by Heung-min Song there, that may be just enough for them to be in the conversation. But that's it, the conversation. And it's going to get to the point to where that conversation is going to move on to other teams that we know are going to be there in the end, and Spurs are going to take a backseat.
It is Leicester City.
Standards are slipping.
Go on, what are you saying? What's wrong with you?
Standards are slipping. That desk's a mess.
Hey, that's what you do when you've got a lot of work. I'm not just sat at home, come on 10 minutes from the basement, chat rubbish and that's it.
Some of us got to work. There's papers everywhere.
What do you mean? Italian, German, I've got everything here. FA Cup, You sat there at home.
I'm organised.
Ten minutes in the basement, have a beer, and that's your day. Shut up, Burley.
I've not had a beer yet. Right. I never drank before work.
Okay, let's focus what are we doing now. Leicester City, top of the table. Jamie Vardy's penalty proving to be decisive in their victory against Wolves. Penalty for you, Stevie.
Yeah, it's a penalty kick.
Yes, well,
again,
he's a decent enough
distance away. Oh, sorry.
We're showing all right, the penalty.
I'll stick a clothes hanger behind my back then, so I can't move myself. Yes. It's a penalty.
I think, Craig, we saw the discussion at half-time that was made available as well between the officials, discussing whether or not it was indeed the right call. What did you think?
You sure that's what they're discussing? I've been thinking like discussing what who's going to go for the pizza. Look, they'll always discuss these things. I'm the same. I thought it was a penalty kick. Yeah. This was closer proximity than the Liverpool one, but the left arm is still out, and so it still denies the ball whipping across the 6-yard box by the position of the arm. So, I think the officials on this occasion have got, in my opinion, have got both these calls correct. Of course, Wolves will believe otherwise, but I do believe that by the letter of the law and the tweaks in the law and the arm position of both the players from the Liverpool match and this Wolves and Leicester match, I think it was correct.
What? 100% a penalty
really?
On both cases.
Why is there such a big debate over
it? I don't know why people are so concerned and angry about this. And by the way, to sort of speculate as to what the conversation was, because we see Swarbrick doing this. Oh, he must be saying that if the ball is coming. And now we're speculating what they're saying at Stockley Park. What? This is the level of analysis that we're down to now? Come on, man.
Who finishes higher, Craig, Leicester or Spurs?
Oh, good question. When Leicester had that wobble against them at West Ham, well, makes a change. West Ham at home. And then they've picked up again. That great win at Man City. I'm going to say Leicester.
That's it, Craig. 15 minutes. Go and have a lie down now doing all that
work. I've
got
to go. Hey, you're wrong. I've got to go and clean out the turtle tank.
Wow.
Show business. Show
business. By the way,
what a lie. Be sure to join us on the next edition of the show. More Premier League talk. World Cup winner Frank Leboeuf with us. And not World Cup winner, Shaka Hislop.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Milan, top of the table in Serie A, but they missed the opportunity to make it 4 clear. In fact, it's only 2 points now after a 2-2 draw against Verona. And in fact, they may be lucky to get a point. It was all about Zlatan and that last-minute equaliser. Gab Marcotti with us as well for this. Gab, Zlatan, man. Zlatan.
It's all about him, isn't it? I mean, he's a chance to be the hero. You know, a little thing that was picked up by the local commentators. Obviously, he'd missed two penalties in a row before this one. And the Verona keeper, Silvestri, who, by the way, has been called up to the national team, has been having a tremendous season. Apparently, he went up to him before and said something like, "Hey, you know you missed the last two penalties, right? You're clear on that, right?" And I wonder if that got into Zlatan's head. Nah.
This is Zlatan. Don't get into his head, Ali.
No, but there is something to be said about the fact that you've missed your last two penalties and that Zlatan maybe not nearly as comfortable as you may think. So he's actually going with power, which not necessarily the way he takes penalties. Well, he goes with power and he goes not only high, but really high. However, any lesser player would hang on to that and say, "Man, it's just not my afternoon. It's just not meant to be for me. And so we'll just see you next game." Not Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Everything that seemed to be productive in the attack for Milan in terms of chances seemed to come from Zlatan. And he hit the post, he hits the volley in the turn, and then eventually hits the header once again. And Milan get a point that looked unlikely, not because they didn't create enough chances. It looked unlikely because it felt like it was just one of those afternoons where things were not going to work out.
9 goals in 9 games now for the league leaders, for Zlatan, 2 assists as well to boot. But boy, Gab, they were made to work hard for that point today.
But did I not tell you before the game that Verona are a really good side or awkward?
Oh, yeah, they look great
against?
In the second half as they were holding on.
Well, I think you'll find that they went into the lead at halftime. And look, obviously there's a disparity of resources out there as well. But I thought this was really, really important, Milan's reaction, not just in terms of the result, but in terms of, as Ali said, the chances created. You know, when you as a manager, you as Pioli go out and say, "Look, the Lille defeat was just a blip. I expect a reaction." And then you go in at halftime and you're down. You know, your players can make you look really, really foolish. But then at the end, he chucked on the attacking players. They went for it. And Zlatan showed that, you know, even after, you know, metaphorically getting punched in the face by missing the penalty, he just keeps going and going. And I just thought this was a big statement from him and from Milan.
Let's check out, shall we, what else happened in Italy today. The early game, Lazio taking on Juventus. Cristiano Ronaldo starting. Cristiano Ronaldo scoring 15 minutes into this one. Cuadrado finds the Portuguese, who makes it 1-0.
It's not the best ball from Juan Cuadrado. It's coming at a lot of pace, and Cristiano Ronaldo, who was just kind of wandering inside the six-yard box, nobody picks him up. He reacts on time, it's a tap in, 1-0.
This game was terrible, got worse and worse as it went on. Cristiano Ronaldo just picking up a knock here. He looked surprised, actually, when he was substituted, but he would come off after just getting kicked. And it would be Paulo Dybala who would come on to replace him, and he would have a hand in Lazio's goal. It's a moment that I'm sure he will quickly want to forget. However, fans, I'm sure, won't let him. Here, you've got the ball. It's 94th minute. It just makes a complete hash of it. A little lapse in concentration. Gives away the throw-in. The throw-in, of course, is then taken. And what happens, as happened last week against Torino for Lazio, it's that man, Felipe Caicedo, who scores the winner with the last, the equaliser in this case, with the last kick of the game.
And while Dybala should have trapped the ball and keep the possession of the ball, he didn't. Now Juventus has to defend, and they don't do a good job of it. Betancur gets split, ball goes through his legs, and then on the turn, Caicedo with a nice finish to the far post.
So it finishes Lazio 1, Juventus 1. The spoils shared there. Gab, would I be harsh in saying this is the worst performance that we've seen from Juventus under Pirlo?
I mean, I don't know if it was the worst. I mean, they were pretty bad against against Barcelona in the Champions League as well. I think it was, and I do think Lazio played well. I mean, Lazio are not a rubbish opponent, but it was a really, really poor performance. I think what's disappointing is, yeah, they broke well at times, and Pirlo said we're gonna be more solid defensively, and by and large they generally were for most of the match. But the basic point about dominating the opposition, dominating the ball, dominating the territory, and when you move the ball quickly all around you. And And I felt that Bentancur simply wasn't able to do that in the middle of the park. And Juventus as a whole weren't able to do that. And they became slow, they became predictable, they became far easier to defend for Lazio.
The second half, Ali, as it went on, you could just tell they were waiting for the full-time whistle. It was evident. There was almost a disinterested vibe from them.
Well, and Gab just mentioned that Pirlo is trying to have a team that dominates possession, that dominates the ball, that dominates the game. They were not doing any of those things, especially in this second half that you're talking about, where they became more of a counter-attacking team, where it wasn't so much about establishing their possession in the attacking half. The only real chances came from long runs from Kulusevski and maybe a little bit from Morata, maybe a little bit from Cristiano Ronaldo, but not a whole lot after that. Defensively, hanging on and just kind of hoping that the whistle comes. That's not the way you see a game out. Not a team of the standard of Juventus. And this is what I keep going back to. We're talking about Juventus. We're not talking about a mid-table team. We're not talking about Crotone. We're not talking about Spezia. We're talking about Juventus. And so there should be an expectation that Juventus should look much better. Now, we're not early in the season either. We're 7 games into the season. We've played Champions League. There's been ample opportunity for now the ideas of Andrea Pirlo to be showcased on the field. And if indeed this is about dominating possession and dominating the game, well, today was none of that at any point in this match.
And yet again, we're in a situation, Gab, where Juventus are relying on Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, and look, if you want to talk optics, the optics are even worse because Cristiano Ronaldo comes off, Paulo Dybala comes on, and, you know, who is it that gives the ball away at the very end and costs you the 3 points? Hey, look, it's Paulo Dybala. He's not in a good place right now. I think Juventus have shown that they're not going to depend on Cristiano Ronaldo. This is not where they want to be. But obviously,
but they haven't shown it, Gab, at all.
If you give up playing, if you're not, can I finish? If you're not able to establish yourself, if you're not able to go and dominate the opposition and dominate the ball and dominate the pitch like they did in the second half, or sorry, like they failed to do in the second half, then inevitably it's going to come down to individuals. And yeah, and then in that case, it helps to have Cristiano on the pitch as one of your individuals. You can't have it both ways. And right now, the fact that they're not doing that, the fact that they're trying to hang on for a win, which I think is probably what would anger Pirlo the most after a performance like this, that then makes them more reliant on individuals. And then Cristiano goes off, Dybala comes on, Dybala's not good, and you're back to square one.
Let's go to Atalanta against Inter Milan, shall we? Not really much happened in this game as we take it straight into the 58th minute, where Lautaro Martinez would open the scoring for the visitors. Ashley Young with a cross in.
Well, Haribor keeps backing up. Ashley Young is allowed to cross the ball with some freedom. He finds Lautaro Martinez, who does well in creating some separation from the defender, and then a glancing header to the far post. That is beautifully done.
7 minutes later, Vidal with a chance to make it 2-0. Not looking particularly confident. Keeper, though, makes the save there. And a good one from the follow-up as well.
Come on, Lex. Arturo Vidal wide open going towards goal. Didn't feel comfortable whatsoever.
Mirantuk then with the equaliser with 10 minutes to go.
Not the cleanest of contacts, but it goes between the legs of the defender. Handanovic sees it late. 1-1.
What about late on? Should this have been a penalty?
No.
High boot, Ali, no?
No.
Quite high.
It is. However, there is no contact on the ball or the contact on the player either. I don't see that as a penalty. Playoff!
So it finishes then Atalanta 1, Inter 1. Conte, of course, taking all responsibility for the drop points.
What?
This is what he had to say after the game. We had the chances to kill off the game, but maybe we are missing that killer instinct to take home results that we deserve and then concede an equaliser. A coach can only do so much.
Hey.
The players are on the pitch and they must know how to adjust to various situations. Conte being typical Conte, Gab.
Yeah, and look, I think this is a bit different, though, because this season we've actually seen kinder, gentler, more zen Conte until today. He was in a two-way after the game with a pundit for one of the Italian rights holders. It was actually Giancarlo Marocchi, former Juventus midfielder, I believe former teammate of Conte as well. And he'd been critical of Inter, and Conte's reaction was something like, you know, don't say stupid things, you must be drunk. Wow. Something along those lines. So,
and he wasn't.
You know, you could easily tell he wasn't happy. But, I mean, in his defense, what he's trying to say, and look, we can twist it to hammer him, and I'll be first in line to do it if you like, but what he's trying to say is that, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here, is that his brand of football, he has such specific instructions for every kind of movement and every kind of situation that when something unexpected happens, when the opponent shows a bit of creativity, when the opposing manager gives you a slightly different look or puts on different personnel, as Gasperini did today, it's up to the players to react. In other words, you can't tell a player every single thing he has to do. He has to know how to think for himself within the framework you lay out. And that's where they came up short. Is it a lame excuse? Well, you obviously think so.
How do the players respond? How would you respond, Ali, if your coach is saying basically, look, I did everything I could?
Well, I wouldn't like it because I like to believe as a player and as a manager that we're all in this together.
Right.
When we win, it's because we're doing well. We are doing well. When we lose, it's all of us that are involved in this. None of us are special enough to say, you know what? I did my part. These guys didn't do their part. When you go down that path, I think it's a very, very dangerous thing to be saying to players because they could just say, oh, is that right? Oh, so it's just us. So when we win, it's me. But when we lose, it's them. That, I think, is a dangerous precedent that you are setting with the team because you're essentially saying, look, man, it's not on me.
Right.
I've done my part. I've done my job. Now, these guys, whoever is out there, whoever I picked, they're simply not executing the ideas that I want out there. So that's on them. That's not on me whatsoever. There's already natural separation between players and managers because of the relationship that is boss and the players who are working for that boss. But when now you widen that gap by specifically addressing it and saying, I did my job, I'm right, you're wrong because you didn't do your job, that I think is something that affects players and not in a good way.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
What a game at Mestalla in La Liga. Valencia 4, Real Madrid 1, which in itself is quite the statement from the host. But it was the first time ever Real Madrid have conceded three penalties in the same match. Mm-hmm. So they're converting all of them. Well, in fact, he had to take four, didn't he? Because mm-hmm. the first one was saved. Eventually it was scored, but had to be retaken because of encroachment. Incredible mental strength, is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that he misses the first one and Thibaut Courtois makes a save and then now you have to gather yourself and you got to put it back down and now you got to find that inner strength. But to do it twice more in the game, I think it shows you something about Soler and the confidence that there is in taking the penalty. Overall, though, I think it tells us a story about Real Madrid.
Yeah.
When we think that they're getting better, when we think that this team is now gaining the sort of momentum and form that you would expect from Zinedine Zidane and Real Madrid, they go back to struggling. There are vulnerabilities about this team that just won't go away. And Rafael Varane, in particular, he himself has to improve upon his individual performances because whatever he did in Champions League is hanging on right now, and we see it time and time again, regardless of whether Sergio Ramos is there or not.
Like other leagues we've discussed, it is open in Spain. Real Sociedad with a victory today, keeping them top of the table, 2 points clear of Villarreal.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who's been on. Thanks to Ali and the rest of the guys. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next with Ali and Stevie. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Trying to organise all my papers here. It's been all go. First question, not a tweet, but it's for you, Stevie. Mm. It was your wife's birthday yesterday. I'm always intrigued as to what gift you got her.
From the heart.
Me.
That's a card. You've got a card. That's an improvement on most years.
Well, actually, yeah, I was very pleased with myself.
Did she buy it for you?
She was very pleased with me as well. No.
Who bought it for you?
I know that seems strange, but no. Me.
Did you?
I nipped out Saturday morning. I gave it one of them. Oh, yeah, I need to go and sort my glasses out. I nipped out and got it.
You older, imagine she's thinking, oh, he's secretly going out because she... And what's he going to come back with? Card. Definitely from the...
Hey, but from the heart.
From the gas station, Stevie. Gas station card.
Now, how long do you think it took him to pick out the card? He just went, okay, let's go.
Now, he went 99 cents. Segment there. Yeah,
yes. Clearance aisle.
Hey, by the way.
Yes?
Hey, do you know how much the card was?
Yeah, cards are expensive.
$8. I was like,
$8? Did it have music in it?
I was expecting it. Aye. Dogs barking.
Romantic.
Wow.
Dogs barking in it. Happy birthday to you. $8. I tell you what, I'll be going back. I'll be downgrading for next year.
Nothing says romantic birthday like dogs barking. Happy birthday.
But it was $8. Yeah. So.
A question to Stevie. As a player, can playing in a rainy weather change the whole football style for a team? It seems like both Liverpool and Manchester City lost their offensive touch.
Listen, it depends how much rain's falling. It depends how much is on the ground. It depends if there's any wind. I mean, those things can change a game. Listen, perfect conditions are perfect for perfect players. You know, it means they can move the ball quickly and they can be accurate with the passing and all those things. So when it starts raining and it's cold and the wind, it definitely changes certainly how accurate you can be with your passing.
Did you like playing in the rain, Stevie?
Not particularly.
No?
No, I didn't. I didn't mind when it was damp, but I didn't particularly like playing in the rain, no.
Ali, fan of the rain?
I enjoyed it, to a point.
Right.
Once you start losing control of the ball or the field is not playing the way that he should, then I had an issue with it.
Would you fall over more in the rain?
Well, I'll have you know that it was not falling then, it was drawing foul.
Yeah. Stevie, did the big matchups in the Premier League lose all their flair as Arsenal United, Chelsea United, City Arsenal, City Liverpool were all boring? Are the managers really trying not to lose instead of winning and taking a safe approach?
Look, I don't think you can say Liverpool City was boring. Listen, if the
second half, you can, Stevie, it was boring. Second half was terrible.
I heard you during the show rudely interrupting Gab as well, so I'll do the same as Gab. Could you let me finish, please?
Certainly. Certainly.
So if the second half had been the first and the first had been the second, we would be talking about how brilliant this game was.
No, I don't think we would. We'd be talking about, this took an age to get going.
Rubbish. we would have said, oh, you know what? First half wasn't that great, but you know what? Second half was great and everybody did. Blah, 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 blah. Now what we're talking about is how It wasn't boring. It was interesting. It just wasn't exciting as the first half was.
How was the second half interesting? Hey. What was interesting about it?
Hold on. Listen, let me tell you something. You're the guy who wants to watch Leeds United drawing 4-4. Remember a few weeks ago we had this argument? You were like, oh, it was great. It was fantastic. Like 16 million goals and people were making mistakes all over the shop. And then you get a great first half, you get a second half that, yes, it's a little cagey, it's a little kind of a chess match, and people are careful, and now you're like, oh, how boring is that?
Stevie, did anyone even have a shot target in typical. The second half? I would like to see a shot.
Typical.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Nice, maybe a shot, a save.
Typical of the new generation. You just want everything like that. No patience.
Oh, but what if it was the second half or the first half?
And the cutting edge analysis, everyone said. Blah, 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 blah. All right, thanks to you.
Do you.
Dan's acting like a millennial or something.
What, sorry, Stevie?
Never mind.
Do you agree with Klopp on the need for 5 subs, Ali?
No. I mean. I understand initially why we were doing this and the circumstances that we were in back then, and maybe those circumstances haven't changed as much as we would have wanted around the world. But at some point, I think you had to get back to the things that we were used to before. And a sense of normalcy for every league, or in this case, the Premier League, is 3 subs. It's what we've used in the past. I think it's going to push teams, I think it's going to stretch teams, but it is the same for everybody. It's not like Liverpool only gets 3 subs and Manchester City gets 5 subs. I really think that this is one where you just have to manage your team accordingly because everybody's playing under the same rules.
This Alexander-Arnold injury, of course, sparked this after the game, but Van Dijk didn't get injured because there weren't enough subs. He got injured because he got kicked, Stevie.
And you are absolutely correct. I must be going a little soft. I'm beginning to come towards it right now because there is a lot of games, and it's not that there's 3 games a week, because listen, when I was playing and since I was playing to now, all the best teams have been playing 3 games a week at times. But I think right now and carrying on into the next couple of months, every single team is going to be doing it every 3 days, whether it's with the international team or the domestic side. So I would suggest that while this is going on, until we get back to normal, I wouldn't have a problem with the 5 subs. It does give the bigger teams and the bigger squads with the better players in it an advantage. But then, you know, the teams that don't have such a big squad are going to find it even harder because their players are going to be absolutely dead on the feet. So right now, during this pandemic, during playing every 3 days for the foreseeable future, I would change it. But I think once we get back to normal, you get back to normal. You get back to 3 subs.
Here's the one thing that I would say is when you're making 5 substitutions, it's nearly half your team that you're changing out on the field. It changes the game dramatically. And yes, it benefits. So it's convenient for Liverpool. It's convenient for Manchester City. But it's not convenient for West Brom. It's not convenient for some of these other teams because 5 substitutions for you is not the same as 5 substitutions for the other group. Mm. That what you have available as Manchester City is not the same as whatever other teams have available. So while West Brom may be struggling to find, okay, yeah, we need to make some changes. Okay, who am I going to bring? Am I going to bring that guy? The 5th player off the bench for West Brom is at a lower level than the 5th player off the bench for Liverpool.
Plus 5 substitutions doesn't guarantee no injuries. Kimmich for Bayern Munich. Yeah. We saw Ansu Fati as well for Barcelona this weekend. Be interesting to see, as Stevie said, whether or not Klopp and Pep moaning will make any difference. Have Leicester gone under the radar, Stevie, so far this season? How impressive have their performances been, given that they are missing key players such as Pereira and Ndidi?
No, I don't think they've gone under the radar whatsoever. We saw last, certainly the first, just after the first half of last season, how good they were, or how good they can be. Of course, they kind of fell off a cliff towards the end. So the way they're playing at times is no surprise to anybody. You know, they've got a real good mix. You know, the likes of Schmeichel in goal, Johnny Evans, you know, Vardy up front, you know, right up in the middle. And then they've got some great young players. You know, Fofana has appeared from nowhere at centre-back, as is Justin at right-back. Barnes, you know, who's probably more of an attacking midfielder, got lots of pace. You know, Tielemans, you know, they've got a lot of good players. And not even my good old friend Maddison as well. So they haven't gone under the radar. I think the only question that we all ask ourselves is, can they last the season? Because we know they can be good, as they were last year. We know they can be good because they've already started well. But can they last? That's the thing we don't know.
Is Arsenal heading for the Europa League again?
Oh, yeah, first-class ticket.
Stevie?
Do you need me to talk again, or can I just nod my head?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they need to take the next step. You know, Arteta's got them from there to there. He's got them organised, he's got them on a real good plane. He's made a couple of good signings, particularly Partey. Now they have to take the next step where they can actually dominate, because I don't remember the last time they dominated anybody. You know, they sit tight and break, and they've got pace with Aubameyang. But actually, they've gone kind of stale. We know exactly what they're going to do now. They need to take a step up.
Dan?
Yes?
Did you happen to notice? So Stevie told us that Arteta's taking this team from here
yes.
to here.
Yep.
And then he said they need to take a next step, and then he went back down this way. We never really did take the next step. Never went up.
Did I go from there? Hold a second. No, you're mixing this up. I've actually got to let my arm go at some stage.
That's it.
Unless you want me to settle that for the next 10 minutes.
You got to climb above that. Step is above it. Stevie,
with the penalties that were called today in the Premier League, and as much as you guys have said you hate it when defenders defend with the arms behind their back, isn't it obvious for them to start defending with their arms back there to avoid those kind of calls?
No. Absolutely not. What do you think we did previously? Do you think this is something new?
Stevie, people are saying that Gomez penalty would never have been a penalty, say, back in your day.
Huh? See, that's absolute garbage, because people that said that probably weren't even born then.
Right, Don Hutchinson, for example, saying it.
If I was Joe Gomez, and that happened to me, and the ball was coming from 20 yards, I would not have argued one iota. Not one iota.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we're going to talk... I'm going to talk about Barcelona with you.
Okay.
But I feel in the time that you've got, you're going to give me the answer on Barcelona, Stevie, can you go and get the birthday card? Because I think people want to see
yes.
it. It's
yes.
only a microphone that's attached, and mm-hmm. isn't it? So if we talk Barcelona, go and get the birthday card. Perfect. Right.
Okay.
Ali.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yeah, definitely. Go and get it. I want to see it.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, it's fine. don't worry.
Hell no.
Time to move on from Griezmann, Ali.
Oh, she's got to download again. Or...
the behind the scenes
don't get this,
look.
Don't get this on Sky.
It's been time, but if you base it on yesterday's first 45 minutes from Antoine Griezmann, you actually would have to say that the best of Antoine Griezmann, coincidentally, happens when Lionel Messi is not on the field. Yes, he missed chances. Yes, he missed a penalty. But he was actually dynamic. He was creating opportunities. He was running at people, running past people, passing for goals, and so on and so forth. So his individual performance in the first 45 minutes was really good. Guess what happened? Lionel Messi comes on the field, and then it's a disappearance act again.
He did score.
Well, and you know how he did score?
Because Messi missed that ball.
Well, yeah. He's
pretending it was a dummy.
Yes, he missed. Yes, it's a good miss by Lionel Messi. You know, we go back a year ago, and actually Antoine Griezmann, when Lionel Messi wasn't playing against Betis, the same team that they played yesterday, scores a couple of goals, assists. So it's either they play against Betis every weekend or Lionel Messi doesn't tower. If you put those things together, then Griezmann is the guy for you.
Should we see if he's back? Let's have a look. Is Stevie back with the... Here he comes. Ready? Oh, I want to wish you a happy birthday. Ready? Let's get the dogs.
There you go.
Hey, I wouldn't imagine everything and anything. This was even better.
Isn't that amazing? $8. Of all the cards, Steve thought, yes, that's the one.
This is the one that's going to make the statement. If there isn't a card that shows my love and appreciation for you, this one is it.
Oh, God.
This is it.
That was the second one I looked at.
What was the first one?
Actually, the first one that...
What?
I wasn't feeling it with the first one.
No, and you felt it with that one. What a lucky lady. Is Stevie going to moan about Lazaro's... Is Stevie going to moan about Lazaro's amazing overhead kick? If you didn't see this, it's in the it's in the Gladbach game. I'm trying to remember which game it was.
Yeah,
an incredible scissor kick. Very similar to that of Olivier Giroud, which when he scored, Stevie said, he was just lucky. It's just a gamble.
It's a gamble.
Stevie, same rhetoric with this?
Oh, yes.
But what, it's brilliant. It's amazing.
Back again.
To pull off that skill.
Hey, if you enjoyed it, that's good. I don't have a problem. If anybody thinks that, that's fantastic. I just don't happen to think that.
Oh my God. You prefer to watch the second half of City against whoever it was, Liverpool.
If the standard for greatness for Stevie is based upon his choice for birthday car, then I think, you know, we ought to reconsider asking him what great is.
Stevie, thoughts on the Scotland qualifier against Serbia? Are you excited? Of course, this for a place in the Euros, first major tournament since 98.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't been inviting them to be over for a celebration, put it that way.
Oh.
I don't see us having a chance.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Serbia away, one
game.
I have
to apologise.
I mean, I'm actually scared it's going to be a bit of a hiding, I'll be honest.
Oh,
so I'm not feeling confident.
Let me
As
repeat. I'm going to read between the lines here. I'm going to guess he's not excited.
Are you doing that game, Ali?
No, I am doing Georgia and North Macedonia.
Final question. How often does Ali completely shave his head? Why would anyone want to know that?
How often? I would say about every 6 weeks or so.
Every 6 weeks?
Yeah.
There we go.
Maybe we should shorten that period. Once a month? We should go once a month?
Okay. Well, that's it. Stevie,
is that a Twitter poll?
That's it. Stevie, one more time. Surely I think we need that before we say goodbye. Can we hear the dogs again?
It's about that time to shave my head again, by the way.
Here it comes. Here it comes. Yes. Well, happy birthday, Mrs. Nicol. Congratulations. What a moment for us all. We'll be back tomorrow for more.
Oh,